genocide, the extermination of racial and religious groups against the civilian populations of certain occupied territories in order to destroy particular races and classes of people and national, racial or religious groups, particularly Jews, Poles, Gypsies and others. This quote, taken from the book East West Street, the book I have read and reviewed this week, is drawn from the work of Polish lawyer Rafael Lemkin, who developed the term genocide and advocated for its inclusion among the charges levied against those Nazis who stood trial at Nuremberg. Hi, this is Jonathan Marks, and welcome to the On Your Marks Book Review podcast. Today I'll be sharing with you my review of this book, East West Street, on the origins of genocide and crimes against humanity, written by renowned human rights lawyer Philippe Sands. This is an outstanding book. There really is no other way to describe it. It is written with compassion and care, and yet is so meticulously researched and argued that one gets an immediate sense of the authority and the ability of the author, not just as a writer, but as a litigator. I have struggled with this review, not because of the book itself, but because the topic is so enormous, so important in all of our lives. Never, never, and never again, the world said, after the horrors of the Second World War became apparent, but yet we find that since then the instances of genocide and crimes against humanity have continued and still continue to this day. This is why this book is so important, as it not only describes how these terms emerged, in itself an interesting story, but it does so with great humanity. It would have been easy for this book to end up as a legal history devoid of people and their stories, but what Sands does is not only offer the legal history, but he does so by telling the stories of people. It all begins with an invitation. Sands is invited to the University of Lviv in modern-day Ukraine to deliver a lecture on the origins of the terms genocide and crimes against humanity. In his research, he discovers a fascinating fact, that the two men responsible for developing these terms had both studied at the very university he was to visit in Lviv. Sands was amazed to find that the university was unaware of this fact, and this leads him to investigating further and writing this book. The book unfolds over 10 chapters, and Sands has masterfully woven together the story of his family along with that of Hirsch Lauterbach, the renowned Cambridge scholar and lawyer responsible for the term Crimes Against Humanity, and Rafael Lemkin, also a lawyer and responsible for developing the term genocide. Along with this, he includes the story of Hans Frank, head of the general government in Nazi-occupied Poland. The lives of these three men, along with that of Sands' family, are all connected, and while these chapters set apart, each deal with the lives of a different person, they are of course linked together through time and space. The book describes the war period through these men's lives, but also through peripheral actors connected to his family. This comes about after he's given a bag of documents by his mother and he begins to stitch together the detail of his family history. I'll give one amazing example. He finds among the documents reference to a Miss Tilney and an address in England. He has no idea who she is, why this document has been kept, or what role she played in the family life. His mother can shed no light on this either. He pursues this lead relentlessly and eventually discovers that Miss Tilney, who came from Norwich in England, was a missionary and someone who took it upon herself to improve the lives of others through her life. The link to Sands' family was direct and highly personal. Miss Tilney travelled to Vienna during the war and rescued Sands' mother, then 2 years old, and took her out of occupied Austria to safety in France. The book is filled with many such stories. But the book also operates on many levels. For the historian, it offers another view into the Second World War, and in particular the way the Nazis cleansed large parts of Poland of Jews and Poles as part of their final solution. It describes in horrifying detail the work of Hans Frank, the governor of occupied Poland, and his absolute disregard for human life and the slavish adherence to the doctrine of National Socialism. Frank, himself a lawyer, and at one stage Hitler's personal lawyer, brought great gusto and enthusiasm to his work of implementing the final solution in Poland. He kept careful notes every day of his work. These were typed up by two permanent secretaries and eventually compiled into 40 volumes. This became his great undoing, as these books were seized by the Americans and became primary evidence against Frank at the Nuremberg trials. The book brings in the story of these two Polish lawyers, Lauterpacht and Lemkin, both students at the same university in Lviv, although a few years apart, both taught by the same professors, and both concerned with the legal structure that would be used to eventually prosecute the Nazis and those responsible for the war and its associated atrocities. Lauterpacht becomes a professor at Cambridge University and is very much part of the establishment. He is highly regarded and becomes a key player in formulating the charges against Nazis at Nuremberg. He advises both the British and American legal teams, and in a heart-wrenching moment in the book, is sitting in court as Hans Frank is pleading his case, having just learnt that his entire family was killed in concentration camps under Frank's control. Lemkin is a somewhat more tragic figure. He flees Austria alone and finds his way to the US, dragging with him trunks full of Nazi decrees and proclamations that he uses to develop the term and the crime of genocide. He advocates relentlessly with the US, British and French for the inclusion of this charge for those standing trial at Nuremberg. He is partly successful, and even though there is resistance to the inclusion of the charge, it does appear at Nuremberg and is subsequently taken up by the United Nations soon after and put into international law. The book continues in this vein, and I simply cannot recommend this book enough, not because of its content, but the craft of the author and his careful investigation and treatment of the evidence is something to behold. The series of coincidences through the book is staggering. As if the main characters' links to one another are not enough, Sands tells the story of how he read law at Cambridge and was taught international law by none other than Lauterpacht's son. Oh, and why East West Street? Well, Sands again discovers through his investigation that his grandmother's family and that of Lauterpacht's family lived in the same street in the same city in Poland. The city, called Zolkiu, has a street that runs east-west through the city, in which his family and Lauterpacht's family lived. Yet another strange coincidence. I've included on the infographic several links to Sands speaking about his book, as well as a link to a movie that Sands produced, which includes Nicholas Frank, son of Hans Frank. This is definitely worth a watch. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and once again, I strongly recommend this book. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead.